All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, you sure look nice today. Hallelujah. What a big Sunday. Of course, you know me, I'm pretty much, every day is pretty much the same. But today we went ahead and put some balloons out. Must be a special day. Hallelujah. We're celebrating 15 years of Houston Faith Church.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thanks, God.
15 years of faith and glory.
15 years.
15 years of the Word of God in Houston.
Lord, yes. Hallelujah. It's been a good 15 years. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to take just a moment today and kind of look back. Amen. And look forward of our faith in God, of His love, of His goodness, of His faithfulness. Hallelujah. He's been good to us. Amen. Hallelujah.
We've done, at our 10-year mark, we did a video that it's on the web. You can go watch it. It's pretty fun. It starts off with a Star Wars intro. A long time ago, two preachers, blah, blah, blah. It was kind of fun. But we didn't do one this year. But this year, we're going to take you back in history a little bit, talk about a few things, and then talk about the future a little bit. Just have some fun today around the faithfulness of God and what's really happened around here. So praise the Lord. You know, very few people are here today that actually started the church with us.
Just me and you, right?
Oh, it's just two of us.
But there were only seven of us to start with. So
out of the seven, one moved to Carolina, one moved to Austin, one moved to Louisiana, and one moved to heaven.
Amen.
But we're still here.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We do have a couple here that were in the first service, but didn't actually join the church and such. But they were around in the beginning. Praise the Lord. And then we did have another half member, half because he could rarely come, but yet he paid another tithe to our church. So that was real special. Praise the Lord. But how many of you were here 15 years? Okay, you weren't here 15. How many of you were here over 10 years ago? Anybody here over 10 years ago? Raise your hand up so we can see.
Betty,
Luana, Betty.
Delia's in, I guess,
about
the cafe.
Five of you, over
Delia.
10 years.
Yeah, Delia and Jim been around that long. Praise the Lord.
I told Delia to get out here.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, these are the pillars of Houston Faith Church for years and years and years. Unafraid to stick it out with me. Unafraid to stick it out with a small, tiny congregation for a number of years. Hallelujah. How about 5 years? Anybody here? Okay, how about this? How many of you were here when we built out this church and moved over from the other building? Wow.
Yeah, about right.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you. Glory to God.
How about this? How many of you were here before we had a band? When we sang with the CDs? How many of y'all been around for those days? Oh, yeah, see? Now we're living in the fullness, see? The stage is full. Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. God's been faithful. Did you know that we prayed for 5 years for a band? Because I was singing with the CDs pretty much by myself and a few people here and there. But praise God, 5 years it took us to pray in. But God was faithful. Hallelujah.
I used to tell people, Joni's not really a singer. She's just doing this to fill in till people get here. And as it turned out, she's still doing it. But we used to have, we didn't even have a screen with words on it. We didn't want to use the overhead. That was just so archaic. So what we did is we went even further back in history and we printed out song sheets. And after about 2 or 3 years, we had a stack of song sheets in the back about this tall. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I was like, people don't need to see the words on paper. Just let them learn the song like in the old days. I kind of like doing things like the early church. They didn't have song sheets.
Hallelujah.
They had to stick around long enough to learn the song. Anyway, okay.
Hallelujah.
We passed that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. But all those years back, you know, God has been good. He's been faithful to us. It's been a steady journey. Amen. Come on, there's been a lot of exciting things that have gone on as we've watched us grow, as we've watched the people grow, and just so many things of what God has done and so many things of what God is yet to do. Amen. We've got a good future ahead of us. So we're just going to ride on the current of what is with God. And, you know, one thing that we know about the kingdom is that the movement of kingdom is always increase. Amen. Come on, God always only adds. He always only multiplies, even in your life. Praise God. And so we can expect that as we continue with God, that God's just going to increasingly pour out his goodness and his blessing and his love and his power as we learn to live by faith and do all the things that God wants us to do for the kingdom.
You know, from our standpoint and perspective, we know that Houston Faith Church really was birthed in heaven. It really came as an idea from God. It was God's will that he put in our heart. It wasn't just something we wanted to do or decided to do or, you know, had a dream of doing. I didn't grow up wanting, oh, I can't wait to, I want to be a pastor. I want to start a church. I didn't do that. Matter of fact, when I got in the ministry, I just wanted to travel and preach to the whole wide world the whole time. I'd have been fine just traveling and never planting anywhere. But in my heart, you know, even though I was living in Houston, in my heart, I knew that one day I'd have to start a work here. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know where it'd be. But I knew something was here in Houston. God had always kept me in Houston all my life. I didn't know why until now. But it came out of my heart. And even before we got married, even before we started the church, I just knew I was supposed to do something in Houston. Didn't know what. So I went down to the county clerk and purchased two names for churches in Houston. I had a plan to have a Northwest church and a Southwest church. But that didn't ever come to pass. But it was not the timing of God. I just knew. I just could sense something. And sometimes we do that. You sense that God has put something in your heart, but it's not really the time. So you can take a half a step and see, but then you got to pull back when you don't feel the grace of God. But then all of a sudden in 2002, felt the grace of God.
Yeah, things, you know, happened. Even before Pastor Chaz and I were married, God had Houston Faith Church in his heart. Did you know that? Did you know that I had a dream before I married him that I was going to marry him? In my dream,
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But mine came true.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, when Pastor...
She had a spiritual dream is what meant. She had a spiritual dream.
When Pastor Chaz and I weren't even courting, we weren't even dating. He was just pursuing God and running his race, and I was pursuing God and running my race. And one night I lay down and went to bed, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I married him. And it was about just that quick, and it was about just that shocking to me when I woke up. Praise the Lord. Because, yeah. But what happened is in this dream, we got married, and instantly the dream switched to a second part of the dream. And we were driving in a car together as husband and wife. And we pulled up to the curb of a house. And I looked over, there before me was this big house. I mean, it was a huge house. It was an elaborate size house. And when I looked at it, I said, "What is this?" And he said, "My father is giving us this house." And I got out of the car and I ran up the sidewalk. I didn't go in. It was like the Lord wouldn't let me go in. But I peered in all of the windows. And I was looking in the windows, and what I knew at that point was the house was fully furnished. Everything that was necessary for that house was in the house. And it was so exciting. Praise the Lord. So I woke up. Well, you know, I understood what the first part of the dream meant, that I was going to marry him. But I had no clue what the second part of that dream meant. I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't know his parents. I'd never met them. I'm thinking, are his parents wealthy? Or his parents? I owned a home at that time. And so I was thinking, wow, his dad is going to give us a house? I mean, do they have a lot of money? You know, I didn't know what that meant, but I knew it was God. So I wrote it all down, and I just kind of tossed that part aside. And then, of course, you know, just a couple of weeks later, we began dating, and a couple of months later, really, we were married. And I never really, yeah, it was just that fast. You know, when you know it's God, I don't recommend that for everybody, but when you know it's God, and you know it's God, and of course, I didn't tell him my dream. God did that. So he had to figure it out on his own. Amen. But what I want you to know is that these kind of things are important, you know, in the heart of God. And so I didn't really know what that second part meant. But on the day of our wedding, we drove somewhere before the wedding very quickly. And a friend of mine asked, she said, "Can I pray for y'all?" And I said, "Sure." And she began to pray. And she prayed out the interpretation of my dream that I had had 6 months ago that only two people knew about. She prayed out, and what she said was, she said, "God is giving you a spiritual house." And it was the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He already had that in his heart, but for me at that moment, it sunk into my heart that we would have a church house where people could come, and the church was going to be beautiful, and the church was going to be fully functional and fully provided for. And so that anchored us in our walk all of this time with the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, I've always looked at the church and the church that I would want to be part of as one that pretty much emulates the early church. You know, like I've said before, that when I got in the gospel, I just didn't know how it's supposed to look. I didn't know how church is supposed to run. I didn't know what to expect, so I just went to the Bible. So the book of Acts showed me all these wonderful things that kind of excited me. Not just kind of. It thrilled me. I thought, wow, this is reality. This is real life with God. This is not religion. This is reality with God and the Holy Spirit in the earth. And this is what it ought to be. So that's what we always wanted, was to see church done that way, to experience some of those same things that they experienced, to have confidence in the reality of God's power and presence like the early church had.
That's right.
And so we've always expected the Word of God to come alive just as it did in the early church, enough so the power of God can be seen, so individuals can experience the power of God, so we can come and testify at the church about the power of God and experience Him together.
Hallelujah. And of course, to live by faith, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We found out how to make this stuff happen. It doesn't just happen because you turn a switch on or because you read the Bible. It happens because you trust. It happens because you step out. It happens because you actually believe it.
That's right.
And so walking by faith is one of the things that kind of sets us apart, is we are determined that we're going to go all the way in walking by faith.
Yes. Praise the Lord. And, you know, that's why we are a Word and a Spirit church. I mean, you certainly can't walk by faith if you don't know the Word of God. But when you know the Word and believe in the Word of God, then the power of God can show up to make the Word do what it said it would do and come alive and be real to you. Amen. In our early days, you know, we had a man that I trusted greatly in the ministry. He was a preacher. He's in heaven now. And he was fasting, really not knowing that yet, that we were starting a church, and had a vision with the Lord, and the Lord spoke something to him, some things about starting a church. At the time, he didn't know who it was for, but he wrote it down. And then a couple of weeks later, the Lord said to him, he said, "Joni and Chaz are starting a church, and I want you to call them and give them that word." And so we've anchored ourselves on that, along with knowing that we were to be a New Testament church. And it came out of Genesis chapter 28 when Jacob was traveling, and it says he found a place and he stayed there. And then he went to sleep and he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw the ladder. Y'all remember this, right? The ladder came from earth, reached up into heaven. And as he watched that ladder, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon that ladder. What that represented was the spiritual activity, that there was an exchange between heaven and earth. And then it goes on to say that the Lord blessed Jacob in that place. He blessed him in that, not another place, but in the place of spiritual life, of spiritual activity. And then it says that Jacob got up and he said, "Well, surely God is in this place. How awesome it is that God is here. And this is the gate of heaven." And so that's how we've always seen Houston Faith Church. That this is the gate of heaven. That here when we come, every time we gather here together, that the power of God is here, the presence of God is here, the angels of God are here. We're supernatural phenomena where the glory of God comes as there's an exchange between us giving our lives and loving the Lord, and we seeing the fullness. And that's why we say we're celebrating 15 years of the glory of God. We have seen the glory of God. All throughout, we have seen people, wonderful things happening in the lives of people.
It's working. It's working. I mean, we've emphasized all the right things according to Scripture that we see, that we're getting people saved. I think we've had around 7,500 people saved that we've counted. 7,500 people that we've counted. And most of them have come through individuals.
Pastor,
rather than altar calls, some have. But the way that it's worked here is that we have done it. We've done the works.
That's in the last 8 years, because in the first 7 years, we didn't really have enough people. It was pretty much Pastor Chaz and I and just a few others. So we didn't really keep record of like we do today. And I think our first goal that we set was like in 2009, and it was we were going to try to win 100 people all year long. And now this year, you know, we're up to trying to win 2,500 people just in 1 year. Praise the Lord.
And the first year we set the goal at 100, and we won more than ever before, 92. The next year we set the goal a little higher, and we won 130, 129 or something like that. And it's just going up and up and up. And this year we're up to, we've won a lot of people to the Lord this year. 1,700, something like that. We're going for 2,500. Yeah. Y'all have work to do.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we've been busy doing what the Bible says, making converts. How many of you know that's our first assignment, to make convert, to try to bring people in, reconcile them to God? Hallelujah. But then the Bible says that we have to make disciples. Praise the Lord. You know, I can honestly say today, after 15 years of being here at Houston Faith Church, I'm a better disciple today than I was years ago. How about you? Come on, that's our goal with you, is to train you and equip you and raise you up. Hallelujah. You know, how many of you here got baptized in the Holy Spirit here? Maybe when you came, you weren't talking in tongues yet, but you found your heavenly. Look at the hands there. How many of you came here and, you know, had maybe done that before, but didn't have that really as a vital, active part of your life and begin to flourish in that? Raise your hands. Come on, raise your hands. Look at that. Look at that. That's a life-changing thing that's gone on. How many of you here have been healed at some point of something that's... Look at the hands here. Look at the hands here of what God has done in the healing power in this place. Praise God. How many of you have been delivered of something, came out of something, overcame something? Look at the hands. Praise God.
Lord.
How many of you have had a prayer answered? Come on. How many of you have seen God break through in your finances and do something for you?
Lord.
Come on. How many of you, look at this. How many of you have had restoration of some sort in your life? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's just you. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you could say that God has done something in transforming your life right here in the midst of Houston Faith Church? Father, just look at that, Father. Just thank you so much for your faithfulness, because you are, we are what it's all about. We are the church. We are the heart of God. It's you that God had in mind all along when he called Houston Faith Church into existence. And it's such an honor and such a privilege to be partnered with him and to see his faithfulness in all of your lives. Hallelujah. And then not only that he's doing it in you, but he's doing it through you. He's doing it through you. You know, we go from the first stages of it's all about me to now it's all about what I know and getting it to others. Praise God. How many of you have helped somebody get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Look at that. Yeah. How many of you have helped somebody get healed? Look at that. Praise God. Listen, this is not this way in every church that you go to. We want it to be more and more and more and more, but we believe that we are raising up an army. An army that's going to take Houston, an army that's going to be significant and reach across the world and make an impact for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I was filming.
Praise the Lord. How many of you have been helped here at Houston Faith Church? Raise your hands. Glory to God. We got happy saints here. Praise the Lord. You know, we started out, we had 7 members. And now today we have over 300 members. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, we're packed in here. We're like jam-packed. You're all sitting like this, next to next to next to next, right? But you know, we are going to see the fulfillment of that dream, that house that I saw. That big house. Yeah, that really nice house. It's going to come to pass right over there on the land. And so what we're hooking our heart up, because we're not talking about just what God's done, but we're talking about what he's going to do. We're believing God for 1,000 people. How many of you can believe God for that? How many of you can believe God for that? You know, years ago, one of our leaders had a prophecy. He was sitting in a prayer meeting, and he had a prophecy. And the first line of it said this. He said, 1,000 people you will see. Hallelujah. Then I think Sister Delia got a scripture in Isaiah chapter, what was that scripture? In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21 and 22. She said one day just the Lord, it dropped on her. And again, it talked about going from 1 to 1,000.
Let me read it. It says, all your people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that it may be glorified. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. It's important for us, not just because we're trying to collect 1,000 people. It's important because we want a bigger army than we have. You know, but when I was traveling the ministry, I would go to many churches, and I kept recognizing, man, this is the army. I wish I could stay here long enough to train them. And so I always envisioned the church being partly that, that not only do we come get restored and transformed, but we become the living, breathing army of God that's willing to walk by faith, willing to fight the good fight of faith, willing to spread the gospel, willing to deliver the oppressed, willing to go head to head, face to face, toe to toe with the devil. And it's happening. That's why around here, we don't just let you sit around and just attend a little here and there just to feel good. It's about plugging in. It's about doing something for God. And it delights my heart to see that we're doing it. That to a large degree, we're active and we're spreading this gospel on purpose. Amen. In the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise
the Lord. Not only have we done it here, of course, we've committed to multimedia. Multimedia. And I think we've had over 314,000 video views on YouTube. 314,000. Over 100,000 more on Light Source by itself. Plus, we were on television now around the world, 200 nations. I think we've had these video views from every nation in the world have watched videos. So this is part of this end time thing that's supposed to happen. The gospel's supposed to touch everybody. And now everybody's got a television in their pocket. And they can all see. They can all see. They can all get the word of God, even if they're in the jungle. I was just down in Mexico, and we had reception the whole time. So everybody everywhere can now get what they need. So we've committed to that. Thank you for being part of that. But it is one way that we're helping. We're planting seed around the world so that God can get into people's hearts.
Hallelujah. So we've said all this today just to let you know that God is faithful. God is faithful. He's been faithful to give the vision. He's been faithful to guide us, to lead us, to help us every step along the way. He's been faithful to fulfill the vision. Hallelujah. And he's fulfilling it through us as a corporate body. He's fulfilling it through Pastor Chaz and I, through you, through all of us coming together and hooking up with God, with what God wants done. You know, I can honestly say that spiritually, God has always provided everything necessary for this house. We've had every thrust of every spiritual thing that was necessary in any moment. Financially, God has been faithful to this house. Even when we started with 7 people, supernaturally, we would get checks in the mail from people we didn't know. We would go out to lunch and we would come back and find money on the doorstep. Because God didn't let us start in our house, even with 7 people. He made us build out a building and have a church service, you know. And in the beginning, that was like a big deal. You know, how God, you know, how's this going to work? But God, because of his faithfulness.
He prospered church members.
Yes.
He caused them to get promotions and oil wells and all sorts of avenues where the people began to fund the kingdom of God. It's been so exciting to watch how God does it through his people.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, yeah, God's just been with us, you know, from the old warehouse building to the building we are here. And he's going to be with us when we cross over the land. Praise God. And we're going to just continue to grow and help God and further the kingdom. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up your Bibles. I just want to take a few minutes and talk about the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Because he is faithful. And it just seems right, you know, that really we wouldn't be here at any length of time if it wasn't for God and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. It is God's vision, and it's his job, it's his role to fulfill what he has in his heart, but he uses us, all of us, to get his work done. And so this morning, I just want to take a couple of minutes and do a couple of things about the faithfulness of God and just get your heart settled because, you know, God, he is involved in the corporate measure. I thoroughly believe that there are corporate things that we can tap into and corporate things that if the Israelites could have none feeble, in the corporate setting. Why not today in a New Testament church? Can't we all together live in a place where we're living in the fullness of life and health and blessing with God? Hallelujah. But it is also individual. You need to understand the faithfulness of God in your life. Not just the faithfulness that He'll be faithful to Houston Faith Church and help us, but that He's going to be faithful to you. Hallelujah. And so I just want to read a couple of things about God's faithfulness. And then I want to read a couple of scriptures just so that this morning we can just be really, really, really thankful. Really, really, really thankful for the faithfulness of God, because He is faithful. He's faithful to me and He's faithful to you. He's faithful to us and He'll be faithful forever. And that's something that we can count on. I wanted just to define for you what the word faithful as an adjective means. It means strict or thorough in the performance of duty. This is referring to God. It means true to one's word, promises, and vows. It means to be steady in allegiance or affection, loyal and constant. It means to be reliable and trusted. It means adhering to or true to a fact, a standard, accurate. So faithful, it implies that there's an unswerving adherence to a person, a thing, an oath, or a promise by which a tie was contracted. Did you know that there was a tie that was contracted to you with God when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. There was a tie that was made between you and God, and every promise of God, every biblical promise now became your promise, your promise that God adheres to as a faithful God. I want to read you a commentary, just something from a commentary I thought's really good. It says, faithfulness is one of the characteristics of God's ethical nature. It denotes the firmness or the constancy of God in relations with men, especially His people. It is accordingly one aspect of God's truth and of His unchangeableness. God is true not only because He really is God, in contrast to all those that are not, and because He realizes the idea of the Godhead, but also because He is constant or faithful in keeping His promises and is therefore worthy of our trust. We trust God because He's faithful. God's faithfulness is the anchor of our trust in Him. God likewise is unchangeable in His ethical nature. This unchangeableness, the scripture often connects with God's love, God's goodness, God's mercy, and also with His constancy in reference to His covenant promises. And this is what the Bible means when it says the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. God has been faithful. He is a faithful covenant keeping God. He is absolute, He is unchanging, and He is always faithful to His own. And that would be me and you. Hallelujah. I want to read some scriptures this morning. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to ask you to not turn there. You can write them down if you would like, but I just want to read some things from the Word of God, because the Word of God is living and it's alive. Amen. And it has the power in the Word to create what it says that it does. And so first, to know that God does not change in Malachi 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord who changeth not." So God never changes. What you see of God and His word is the truth of God, and it remains. Psalm 36, 5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." Psalm 98, verse 8 says, "O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like You, O Lord, Your faithfulness also surrounds You." Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, listen to this. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, and the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I hope is in Him. My hope is in God. Come on, my hope is in the Lord. My hope for good things. My hope for a good future. My hope is anchored in that God is faithful and that God is merciful and that God loves me. He has an agreement with me whereby He's going to take care of me, where He's going to honor me, where He's going to favor me, where He's going to bless me, where He's going to work with me and always come through for me. That is the God that we serve. I love that. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is that. There's a song like that, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, into the New Testament. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, God remains faithful. He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Hallelujah. Because of His faithfulness, we give praise to Him and honor to Him. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Isaiah 25, verse 1, O Lord, you are my God, and I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, and your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Psalm chapter 40, verse 10, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful to us. And there's something about our praise, there's something about our worship of God and His faithfulness. You know, Lillian B. Yeomans made a healing story very famous years back, wrote about it in the book. It's been told as long as I've been around the gospel. It was about the doctor that was taking care of someone when the smallpox outbreak was happening. And she was taking care of a smallpox patient. And she was a Christian and she knew God. And she was standing on the word of God that she was not going to get the smallpox, but she got it. But you know, that didn't deter her. She knew her covenant promise in the Bible for healing. And so she went to the Lord and she asked the Lord, Lord, what do I need to do to be healed? And the Lord spoke something to her and He said, you need to sing to me. You need to praise me for my faithfulness. Not praising that healing is real. Not praising that I can get. No. Praising for His faithfulness. And the Bible says, you know, that the doctors recommended that she be quiet and she lay there. And the Bible says, the story goes that she just began praising God and singing God. And she would get louder and louder. And the doctors told her, you know, that she was delirious. You know, that she needed to calm down, that she was working herself up. And she just praised and she just praised and thanked God and sang about His faithfulness. Hallelujah. And then it went on. The doctors said that they told her that even if she did live, that she would be disfigured for life. life. But she kept singing and praising God about his faithfulness, that he was a faithful God. Hallelujah. And she kept on and kept on, her praise being in the faithfulness of God. And the story goes that she got healed. Hallelujah. All based in the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Come on, has God been faithful to you? Come on, stand up this morning. I want to take a praise break right now. Come on, I just feel like we need to do a little praising God out loud. Come on, I want you. Come on, I want you in your seat with your own mouth, with your heart, with your hands. Come on, let's begin to praise God in his faithfulness. In his faithfulness, you are forever faithful, Lord. Your faithfulness reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to me, Lord. You are forever faithful, always faithful. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Come on, come on. We appreciate the faithfulness of God, that you are unchanging, that we can count on you, Lord. Faithful you are. Faithful you've always been, God. Faithful you'll always be, Lord. Faithful you are. Faithful to me. Faithful to the church. Faithful your people. We praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness, God. Come on, praise him for his faithfulness. Come on, sing to him for his faithfulness. Come on, dance unto him, for he is faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for being faithful to Houston Faith Church. Thanks for being faithful to us, your people. Thanks for being faithful. Always coming through. Always working in our behalf. Always perfecting everything that concerns us. Thank you, Lord. You're just so faithful, God. You're just so faithful, Lord. You're just so faithful, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. It goes on and on. It goes on and on, your faithfulness. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Lord. Thanks, Father. You've been faithful. You are faithful. And you will be faithful, Father, for 15 more years. And 15 more years. And all the years that are to come, Lord. We declare your faithfulness in this place. We declare your faithfulness in this house. We declare your faithfulness in these people, in this congregation. Faithful corporately, Lord. Faithful individually, you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Faithful, faithful. Praise you in your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and have a seat. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you got to say it out loud so that you start feeling it again. You got to say it out loud. You got to be thankful out loud so you start being thankful and grateful again. Hallelujah. He is faithful. We can't live without him. We can't live if he's not faithful. He's faithful who promised. We can't live without that. His promises have to be absolute or it's terrible. Might as well go home and watch football. But he's faithful and it makes it worth it. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about the other side of the coin. God is faithful. What about us? We can trust God. Can he trust us? Can we trust each other? Are we a trustworthy person? And so let's just hit that a little bit just so we recognize that there's two sides to this thing because we're called up to his seat. If he's faithful, we're called to be faithful. Matter of fact, the Bible says you are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. We are the faithful. So I just want you to think right now, I'm faithful. Whether you are or not, I want you to think, I'm faithful. I'm saved, sanctified, and faithful. He's called me, saved me, and made me faithful. It's in me somewhere. I can be faithful. I can be more faithful than I ever was in the world because it is an attribute of a Christian. And we have to think about this in our relationships. Our relationships need to be supernatural. Our attitudes toward people, our attitude towards the kingdom has to be supernatural. And it requires faithfulness. And so we don't live the carnal way anymore. We don't live in the flesh. We live supernaturally, recognizing I'm called to a higher standard. Galatians 5:22 includes one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love and joy and patience and gentleness and goodness and meekness and kindness and faithfulness. Now the King James says most likely it's referring more to the faithfulness side of you bearing the fruit of faithfulness. So real Christians bear the fruit of faithfulness. Real Christians bear the fruit of loyalty. which I think those two words are kind of similar. I've heard people distinguish them and make it completely separate, but the definition of each includes the other. And so loyal and faithful is part of who we are. And so when you get saved, if you recognize that you're not quite that loyal and faithful, you have to quickly get there. You have to begin to bear fruit, because if you're a tree, you're supposed to bear these fruits of the Spirit. And if you don't, there's got to be an issue. It means we need to buckle you into your chair here for a while. It means there needs to be some commitment in your heart towards the Word of God. Some things have to change if we're going to become like the character of God. He said, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, and be faithful and loyal. And it kind of all goes together. Hallelujah. So first of all, I want to thank all of you for your faithfulness here. Because Houston Faith Church doesn't make 15 years without faithful people. Like the majority. And so thanks for all of the early church members, those seven. Thank you. I know Mom's watching via live stream. Thank you, Mom. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for being faithful. The church doesn't make it without faithful members. And I know Mom and Dad love me because I'm their son, but they also loved God and they loved what was happening. And we couldn't have made it without Mom and Dad. We couldn't have made it without the other few that labored with us. We couldn't have made it without you who've been here 12, 13, 14 years. We couldn't have made it without you that helped us build this building out. When I think of faithfulness, I think of Brother Aaron. When we built this church out, of course, and Patrick and Gary Rolls, we spent our whole life here for 2 months preparing this building for you. And Aaron even took a week of vacation. He took a week of vacation to lay tile. He laid almost all the tile in the building. A week of vacation, I thought, oh my gosh, that's a faithful man. It just delighted my heart. Somebody cared enough about this work to put their heart in, put their money in. What a special deal. And to think of the hours Patrick has put in up here during the build out and beyond. And to think of all the commitments that so many people have made, it just rings my bell, makes me happy. And really, I know that it makes God happy. And I know that people don't want applause here on the earth, but man, that's what God looks for. The scripture says, who can find a faithful man? Who can? It says most men, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Who's faithful to another? Another scripture says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Another translation says, a faithful man will be richly blessed. And so if blessings are short in your account, get faithful. Get loyal. It's a better life. So let me just give you 5 quick points on being faithful. Number one, we have to be faithful to God and faithful to the kingdom of God. Faithful to God, to honor God. It just is so nice when you see a Christian honoring God's word. Just one simple scripture that says, no, the Bible says you can't do that, so I won't do that. Oh, no, the Bible says you should do this, so I'll do it. It's so nice to see that. I know God likes to see when people believe his word enough to do it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So without believing his word and doing it, it's impossible to please God. So that's part of being faithful. Jesus is called the faithful and true witness. And we're supposed to be like him. So the question that we have to ask is, do we live with integrity before an unbelieving world and before our brothers and sisters in the Lord? Sometimes people go through the motions and you know it's not right. Going through the motions is almost better than not. But really, you need your heart right about it. And that's why everything we do in this kingdom is done with our heart, by faith. You can't just go through motions. Remember in 2 Chronicles 25, it says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. You can be doing right, but not with a loyal heart. Think about our attitudes at work. Are we faithful and loyal? Or are we just loyal? Or are we just faithful? Or are we just... What's the difference? Well, I don't know. Maybe a faithful person will show up to work every day on time and leave every day on time and do a great job while they're there. But in their heart, they're hoping for an exit. In their heart, they're not satisfied. In their heart, they have no loyalty to the company. Or on the other hand, somebody's loyal to the company. They love being part of the company, but they're a terrible employee. They're not doing their work as unto the Lord. They're skimming. They're skipping. But they're never going to leave the company. I like what they provide me. Loyal and faithful is how Christians live. Hallelujah. It makes it so special. 2 Chronicles 16 says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." He's looking for somebody who's loyal to him, who's not just going through the motions, who's not just in it for self, but committed to the one above. Hallelujah. Second thing about faithfulness is we have to be faithful in our relationships. Faithfulness implies steadfast allegiance and affection. Sometimes people are faithful to God, but not faithful to people. They're faithful to try to please God, but when it comes to people, they don't walk in love. They're more selfish than selfless when it comes to people. That's not faithful. Philippians chapter 2 says that we should let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I have to esteem you guys better than myself. Do we do that with one another? Think of the times, think of the attitudes we get when we're selfish. Think of the quick decisions that ruin lives because people got selfish. You got to think of the body. You got to think of them. You got to think of somebody else. That's what God's looking for. Hallelujah. A faithful servant is accountable to people. A faithful servant delights in accountability. I don't mind you knowing what I've done, knowing what I'm supposed to do, because I know that the Lord is going to allow me to answer to everything that I've done. And so we live our... Boy, it sure is getting quiet in here. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to our words and promises. Oh, let's move on from that one too. Praise the Lord. Faithfulness says, I'll keep my word, I won't fail you. You know, in the old days, a man's word was kind of like his name. Is it that way for you? Is it easy for you to say you'll do something and then not do it? If so, then you need to get buckled in here. You need to make some high commitments to the Lord, because our word's supposed to matter. A faithful person will conceal strife and stop dissension. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that's of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Amen. Hallelujah. A faithful man will be faithful in another man's work. Luke 16 says, he that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that's unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Sometimes people don't put any faithfulness into small things. Well, if it was a big deal, I'd do it. If it was a big deal, I'd honor my word. It's just a small deal. I told them I'd come over and help them, you know, bake a pie, but they can do that on their own. Well, if you told them, you better be there. A righteous man will swear to his own hurt and change not. Don't you hate when you make a commitment and then you get 3 days later, you're like, man, why did I say I'd do that? You better stick to it. A faithful person will stick to it even if it's not beneficial to you. And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? There's a good example of what you're supposed to be like at work and in life. Hallelujah. I think Mother Teresa said this. We don't quote her very much around here, but she's a real Christian. She's in heaven. I think she has a little bit of treasure. She said, be faithful in the small things because it is in them your strength lies. Glory to God. When I think of faithfulness and loyalty, I think of also longevity. Longevity. And you and I in this modern age have to fight. We have to fight to stick around. It's so easy to hop around from, you know, town to town, job to job, apartment to apartment, house to house, spouse to spouse, church to church. Whenever I'm done getting pleasure from all this side, I'll go to the other side. Just hopping around. We got gas. As long as you got gas, you can go anywhere you want, as much as you want, as often as you want. You don't have to be faithful to anybody. Matter of fact, a lot of people don't want to be plugged in anywhere. Nope, no. A lot of people don't want to be planted because it's a lot easier just to hop around, do whatever you want to do, and have no accountability anywhere. That's not a faithful and loyal person. You're not committing yourself to anybody. You're not taking responsibility for anything. You're not grabbing anybody's rope to help pull. You're not being a faithful in another man's. Well, I'll be faithful for about a year and a half. That's all I can stand. What about longevity? There's something to be said about that. Hallelujah. Number four I got here. You don't have to number them. There's four or five or six or seven or eight or ten, something. Selflessness. Being faithful in not being selfish. Selflessness. Hallelujah. A faithful servant points people to God, not themselves. A faithful person keeps the body of Christ safe at all costs, even above self. People get hurt in church. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that have been hurt in church. Hurt amongst Christians. I mean, they got a bad taste in their mouth about, they call it organized religion. And so they could care less. And so they'll do whatever they got to do on their exit. They'll hurt people. They want to cause as big a ruckus as they can. They don't care about the body of Christ. A faithful person would care. As hurt as you might be, a faithful person will care about the others. Especially the body of Jesus. You know how we have to live is no matter how hurt we are on the inside, no matter what is going on with us on the inside, no matter what turmoil is in us, when we get around people, we keep it to ourselves. Because we owe love and kindness to everybody. No matter what's happened on the inside of us, our attitude to others is faithfulness. We don't let go of our faithfulness just because we're going through stuff. Sometimes people start going through stuff and it's so overwhelming that they just, all of their commitments go away, all of their faithfulness disappears because self is first. Self can't be first. I've lived this. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived it. Highly, highly loyal and faithful and committed. Do you know how many times I've had to step on this platform and let everything that's inside me disappear? Oh, that's right. I don't have any turmoil in life. That's right. I forgot about that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A faithful person will never cause dissension and separation at work, on a team. Don't take your tips from athletes or children at school. A faithful person will never allow a church to be split. Thank God we've never had a church split. Why? Well, I believe partly is highly because of faithful people, loyal people, who even though they may have some trouble with me one day, you know, they just can't stand the pastor any longer. At least they don't split the church. At least they don't badmouth everybody. They just kind of sneak away, and that's good. I'm trying not to be so ornery so that you don't have to not like me. A faithful person will help the body of Christ stay organized under godly leadership rather than try to rebel against the system. I mean, Jesus did order the church. He did set people in the church in different capacities, and he did have leadership that has to be submitted to. I'm just trying to live in that. Hallelujah. The fifth thing about faithfulness is about money, of course. The scripture says that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So you and I always have to look at ourselves. Am I being faithful with money? In the way that I earn it, in the way that I spend it, in the way that I give it, in the way that I honor God with my substance, am I faithful in money? And man, that's a toughie. Because our money feels like I can use it for my pleasure and my benefit. Well, you get a little bit for that, but only after the others are handled properly. Make sense? Even in the offering stuff, it's the scripture over in 1 Chronicles when they gave a big offering to get the temple built. Says the people rejoiced for they offered willingly because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly. You got to have a loyal, faithful heart if you're going to give offerings right. We want you to be able to do it right. That's why we talk about it some, so that you'll have faith in what you're about to do. Hallelujah. Thinking about the kingdom, being faithful to the kingdom of God above self and selfish things and just me and my four type thing. being faithful and loyal to the kingdom of God, to spreading the gospel, to the things the gospel stands for and that this word stands for. I had a great uncle, aunt and uncle, who towards the end of their life, they set their will, and we knew of it. They set their will, 33% was going to go to one family member, 33% was going to go to the other family member. The other 33% was going to go to their church. You ever heard of that before? Why not do that? They cared about the kingdom of God. Is it going to make family upset? Maybe. And they had, at the time they made their will, I think they had about $750,000. This was not just little beans. This was substantial monies. But it makes sense, doesn't it? Joni and I have talked about that. We're going to do that. We have a niece and a nephew. They're not getting everything. We're giving a bunch to the kingdom of God, to Houston Faith Church and to the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, it's going to advance. If we have to go to heaven, it's going to advance. There ain't no way. Ain't no way that we should, or let's say it this way. We should highly consider not letting all of the money go to the heathen kids. If they're serving God, the percentage goes up. Regardless, they're not getting everything anyway. We're going to give a good to the kingdom of God. Makes things fun. It makes it real. Makes it right. How much do I really, how loyal am I to the kingdom of God? We're loyal to the family. Hallelujah. We want to get to heaven with a well done. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and successful servant. It's not all about success and visible success. It's about faithfulness. The truth is, faithfulness will bring blessings. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, is what we want to hear. To do that, I think we're going to need to not only be called faithful, but get faithful. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.